You're listening to KAYT 88.1 FM, Gina, Alexandria, 98.9 FM, Monroe, West Monroe, 92.5 FM, Shreveport, Greenwood, 100.1 FM, Lake Charles, and KQJO 99.3 FM, St. Joseph, Louisiana, Natchez, Mississippi.
We ask you to consider at this time the book of Genesis, the 9th chapter, the 20th, and a few of the following verses. It reads, "And Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backwards and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years. Title of our sermon tonight is, The Preacher Who Got Drunk. Preacher who got drunk. And I thought maybe in using a title like this, that this would at least arouse your curiosity to the point of coming to see who was it. What preacher was it that got drunk? And I might get a chance to tell you some other things you need to know. Thus, we ask you now to think with us on this passage. First of all, we have chosen to talk to you from that part of the Bible, which is sometimes called the Pentateuch or the books of the law. It is classified or referred to sometime as the creation or. That is to say that it is a Hebraic poetic story of creation. Did you get me? If you're following what I'm saying, if you are scared to say amen, just bow your head or something, so that I'm sure you understand me. I said the reason it is called the creation or, this means that it is an historic Hebraic interpretation of the creation of the world. Many of the lay people in the church, and a great many of the preachers, so far as that go, incidentally, let me say, Dr. Gayton is teaching down here every Thursday night at 8 o'clock, and it's a privilege to hear. And it would be to your advantage to be here and get the benefit of his great mind. Well, saying that many of the laymen And a great many of the preachers do not know that this is not the only interpretation or story of how the world began. Wake up my deacon there so he can hear. Wake up Deacon Perry. It's not the only story of how the world came into being. The Egyptians had a creation story. The Babylonians had a creation story. The Chinese and the Indian, the East Indians to be specific, most of the older cultures had stories of creation. Somebody said, you know, when I was a boy going to Sunday school, there wasn't too much knowledge about theology. The smartest man in the class was the man who could ask the hardest questions. However, this is not always indicative of smartness. Sometimes people who know less can ask you the hardest questions. So as a boy, I frequently used to hear the question, when Cain killed Abel and went into the land of Nod, found his wife and knew her, where was the land of Nod, and were there any other people there? Whatever or wherever Nod was, I'm here to tell you tonight, there were people there. Because the Hebrews were not the only people in the world. But the writer of this story in Genesis is giving a Hebrew version of how the world began. And this is not to say that they were the only people in the world. God has always had other people. I don't believe you hear me tonight. There were some Chinese around. There were some Japanese around. There were some Indians around, some other people. So it's not too strange to conceive that when Cain ran away as a fugitive from justice, that he found other people. Just as you would find other people if you went into another land. They did not have modern communication such as we have. But in, although they were primitive, they did exist. Now, these stories, when we study how we got our Bible, including the Noah story that we are concerned about tonight, these stories came down to us by oral transmission. That is, these stories were told around the campfire for centuries. And as they were told by word of mouth for centuries, for generations upon generations, until the art of writing was developed in Egypt, it is conceivable that a legend crept in, because nobody can tell stories for hundreds of years and keep all of the facts straight. They couldn't do it then, and they can't do it now. The only way that you can keep facts altogether straight is to write them down as they happen and then preserve the writing. So that, to give you an analogy of what I'm trying to say to you, if someone would tell you tonight a story of an incident that took place during slavery that involved some kind of brutality to the slaves, I'm sure you could not conceive of that story being factual in every detail. Does this make you sleepy? I saw a lady yawn and I was wondering if it made her sleepy. I was hoping that you were listening with interest to what I'm trying to say. Listen if you please. Now, here's a story that we do not question its spiritual meaning. We do not question altogether its historical meaning. The religious value, the spiritual value, is there. It shows the humanity of Noah. Noah was, after all, a man. And of course, he responded like other human beings. Some people forget that and think because Noah or Abraham or Isaac or Jacob lived at another time, and the Bible records many incidents in their lives, that they were not human, but they were. They were. In this particular story, frequently it is used by segregationists as an example of why the Negro is black. They make Ham, the ancient ancestor of black people. And of course, see, Reverend Livingston, when you get in here, and of course, they make the other three sons, Shem and Japheth, the ancestors of other ethnic or racial groups. But first of all, I want to say that there's nothing to this interpretation of that story, because Ham is not the ancient ancestor of black people. And black people are not black because God cursed them. Because Ham saw his father naked, drunk and naked. In the first place, this is historically wrong. For in terms of history, it does not set the story in its proper perspective. Thus, it is historically wrong. Because I'm sure that there were black people way before Ham. You don't hear me. Thus, it's historically wrong. It is anthropologically wrong. That is, in terms of the science of man, in terms of anthropology that deals with the science of man is wrong. Because man did not come to his racial characteristics, color, etc., by somebody's curse. For you can't curse anybody. And what is more than that, God would not empower you to curse your brother. Huh? You may cuss him, but you can't curse him. You didn't hear me. I said, you may cuss him, but you can't put a curse upon him by divine sanction or by divine authority. For if God is the God of love, and if God is the God of justice, if God is the Father of all men, what father would give another child, another one of his children, the power to place a curse upon another one of his children and his children's children's children? What kind of God would that be? You don't hear what I'm saying. I want you to pray with me. Thus it is not only historically wrong, but it is anthropologically wrong. It is also theologically wrong, because it is inconsistent with the philosophy, the religious philosophy of theology. And this is wrong. And then another thing I want to say to you. We are black, not because of a curse. For blackness is not a curse. It is a curse only if you think so. You know, and it's not really a curse then. It's just the way you think. Blackness, so far as God is concerned, so far as truth is concerned, is just the same as whiteness. For God has all kinds of colors in his word and in his universe, and he has not condemned any color. All colors are beautiful in the sight of God. You don't hear what I'm talking about. And the only reason why that you entertain a thought like that is because you have been culturally conditioned by white people to think that way. And they conditioned you that way because they used this as a means to an end, to give you a feeling of inferiority and to then take advantage of you socially, economically, and politically. Color ain't got nothing to do with it. The part of the world from which you came is responsible for your color. You lived in a tropical situation originally where the sun was severe and generations of heat effectuated the color that you are now. If you have a broad nose, it is because nature did that in order that your intake of oxygen would be great enough for you to survive. Because in the kind of intense heat that you came from, out of the world, from the world, that part of the world from which you came, with a thin, closed up nose, you couldn't have lived. you could not, or rather your oxygen intake would not have been sufficient for survival. Do I have nobody to tell you? You know, the word Adamah, from which we get our word Adam, means earth. Earth. You know, out of the dust of the ground created, God created us. So Adamah, from which our word Adam comes, means earth. Now, who ever seen any white earth? If man came from the ground, you understand? It seems like original man couldn't have been white. So people are white also because of the part of the world where they came originally. The frigid zone, the cold zone, determined all of this. Had nothing to do with a curse. Had nothing to do with God authorizing somebody to curse us. You understand? And that color of yours is a mark of the curse. Nothing is further from the truth. If you understand it within its scientific context. And of course, the Bible says a certain situation arose and Moses' hand turned white. Now, if Moses was already white, how did his hand turn white? Huh? Nobody but somebody dark could have a white hand. That is, speaking of it in this sense, because there would be no need to speak of his white hand. His hand was already white. You don't see what I'm talking about. So there was no curse. It was no curse. And the word Adam does not mean a person. It means man. It means man. Just like the word Negro does not mean a person. It means a whole group, doesn't it? When you speak of the Negro, you're talking about Negroes in general. Thus, the word Adam has the same meaning originally. So let's get this out of our minds, that God would empower one of us to curse another, that God would give that kind of advantage to one of his children over his other child. He is a just God, I believe. Someone asked me one night after preaching, Reverend, if God is just, then why do we have wars? What about the things that happened to us? Why were we so mistreated when we were slaves? God has nothing to do with that. God made man a free moral agent and gave him the ability to choose good or evil, right or wrong. So if a war comes on and millions of people are killed, it's not God, it's man. While all is responsible for that, because Hitler killed millions of Jews, was not responsible to God. It was responsible to Hitler and the German people. But then although God gives you the ability to choose good or evil, he doesn't make you do either. But what he does do, once you have chosen, you must be responsible for your choice. You don't hear what I'm saying to you. You must suffer the consequences, as Germany did, and as America is doing today. You may not know it, but we are suffering the consequences of our former or historical choices. Now, I think it would have been terribly wrong if God would have given a drunk, naked man the power to curse one of his own grandchildren because he was mad with his daddy. You don't hear what I'm saying? Now, he's going to come up out of a drunken stupor and put a curse on his grandchildren and their grandchildren and their grandchildren and all down through history. This doesn't seem logical, does it? No, sir. Noah was responsible for getting drunk. And Noah was responsible for getting naked. You don't hear me. And Noah had to suffer the consequence of having chosen to get both drunk and naked. Now, this is attributable to Noah's humanity, Noah's weakness, Noah's finiteness. Although Noah had done many good things that people don't take time to talk about, they would rather talk about the bad things. But people are just made up like this. You can go to the hospital and visit with the sick. You can go to the home of the sick and take care of it until they get out of the hospital. You can preach people's funerals and marry them, and you can baptize them, and you can do all kinds of creative good things. Nobody's gonna make a headline out of that. You don't hear what I'm saying? Nobody is gonna put themselves to the trouble to get on the telephone and talk for hours about the good things that you did. You can do good things for a year, or even 20 years, or even 30 years, or 40 years. After 40 years of good things, do one wrong thing, and they will talk about that far more than all the good things that you did for 40 years. I wish I had somebody here to pray with me. Listen. I remember reading a story about a young man who was a member of one of the professional ball teams in Major League. And this young man was their home run king. He had played on the team for a number of years, and he had brought, as it were, the bacon home. He was their star. And whenever they got in trouble, they always called on him. And Usually, he always came through. And when he would do this, the team would mob him with admiration. Oh, Lord. But one day, after bringing them victory and making them champions for years, oh, Lord, he went to the back and the team was in a tight. And they said, come on now and do like you've always done. Get us out. And the young man struck at the first ball and missed it. The crowd laughed with admiration. So he's just fooling around. Wait on him a little while. Well, the pitcher wound up and threw another ball. The batter struck at it and missed it. Oh, Lord. His teammates and the crowd called out, quit playing now. Come on. Give us a home run. Oh, Lord. The bases are loaded and we're counting on it. If you bring in those boys on the bases and bring yourself in, you'll put us out in lead. Oh, Lord. But when the last ball was picked, while the batter went down swinging, oh, Lord, they got angry with the young man. Yes, they did. They got angry with him. They said, he loves us. Oh, Lord, he never found me. But someone said, don't you remember how many times he lifted you up? Oh, Lord, no. I'm not talking about that now. I'm talking about he let us down. The day, oh Lord, and they threw him off the team. Yes, they did. And let me tell you, I think the same thing applied where Noah is concerned. Oh Lord, do you remember that Noah did some noble things before he got drunk one time? Yes, he did. Noah 120 years. Somebody said something about that. Hold on. No. According to the story, preserved and saved his people. How did someone say a good thing about that? And then there's another thing. Noah walked with God. Noah walked with God. He was a man that appreciated divine presence. He had divine awareness. Why doesn't someone say something about that? Oh, Lord, the world, the universe is full of good. Yes, there is evil, but there is also good. And I believe that good is stronger than evil. Oh, Lord, men will fight war. Men will shoot one another down. Men will take advantage of their brother. But I believe that good will be victorious one day. One day. Victorious one of these days. Yeah, I know he will tonight. Yeah, yeah. I wonder, do you see what I'm talking about? Good will overcome. Good will overcome. Good will triumph. Good good will be victorious. One of these days. For I want to tell you, God is not dead. God is not dead. God is not dead. Let the war clouds rage, and let the storms of hate rage. I want you to know that God is still on the throne. Yes, he is. He's still on the throne. He's still on the throne. Like the little girl on the train one night, when the train was racing along the tracks and everybody was afraid, the little girl sat on and died, playing with her doll. And somebody said, little girl, don't you know danger's imminent? The little girl said, I'm not worried. My father is the engineer. My father is. I'm not worried. My father is in charge of this train of life. God is the engineer. He overrules and superrules in the affairs of men. God bless you. The doors of the church are open.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina, Alexandria.
The Second Nazarene Missionary Baptist Church at 4800 Smith Avenue in Alexandria is inviting you to Pastor Gregory and Linda Tenney's Pastor's Anniversary for 6 years of faithful service. Sunday, January 31st at 3 p.m. at the Zion Hill Church at 602 Hunter Street in Pineville to give you plenty of room for physical distancing. For 6 years, Pastor Tenney has proven to be a man after God's own heart and a beacon of light, not only to this community and also to others within this area. Your presence is requested to help make this day both blessed and prosperous. Pastor Gregory and Linda Tenney's 6 year pastor's anniversary, Sunday, January 31st at 3 p.m. at the Zion Hill Church at 602 Hunter Street in Pineville. The anniversary message is given by Dr. Joshua Joy Dara. The Second Nazarene Missionary Baptist Church is another proud sponsor of KAYTKQJOFM.
During these trying times, our troops need our help more now than ever. Right now, blood supplies are at an all-time low. Just one pint of blood can help save the lives of our servicemen and women. So give the gift of life. Give blood. It's safe, simple, and it saves lives. This message is brought to you courtesy of Redhead Roofing LLC, your complete contractors with a reputation for quality work at prices you can afford. For an estimate, 318-467-1455. That's Redhead Roofing LLC in Lafayette, on the air because they care. Redhead Roofing LLC in Lafayette is another proud underwriting sponsor of KAYT, KQJO, FL.
Hello, this is Wade Hampton in the Weather Center. Let's check our Tuesday forecast. Here in the Central City, we're looking at partly cloudy skies with a high at 73 and an overnight low at 49. Mostly cloudy in Natchez, Mississippi with a high at 71 and a low at 51. Lake Charles will be mostly cloudy. High temps at 72, overnight 53. Partly cloudy in Monroe with a high at 71 and an overnight low at 44. And in Shreveport, mostly sunny with a high at 70 and a low at 43. That's a look at your Tuesday weather forecast. I'm Wade Hampton.
Aren't you tired of living paycheck to paycheck? Are you spending your tax refund as soon as you get it? Welcome to 360 Financial Services, where you can fix your credit, file your taxes, and increase your financial stability. Hi, I am Catrice Mason. Fix your credit by disputing every negative item on your credit report. No matter what the item may be, it can be removed. You'll be able to get a quote at no expense and file your taxes at 360 Financial Services. I'm also looking to partner with like-minded entrepreneurs who are looking to start their own business. You have the opportunity to be your own boss, make residual income, get paid weekly, make your own hours, and you can work from anywhere with no background check and no overhead. Start 2021 with new goals, excellent credit, and a cash advance. God is opening new doors for you at 360 Financial Services. 318-730-8441.
360 Financial Services is a proud sponsor of KAYTKQJOFM.
I'm taking back. I'm taking back everything that the devil stole. say, Satan, give me back my joy.
I'm taking it back.
Give me back my peace.
I'm taking it back.
Give me back my money.
I'm taking it back.
Give me back my house.
I'm taking it back.
Give me back my spouse.
I'm taking it
you tried
back.
To take away my family.
I'm taking it back.
Now I got to have it back.
Yes, I'm taking it back.
Give me back my joy.
Yes, I'm taking it back.
For the joy of the Lord.
I'm going home. Kelly's Sitting Service is a personal care assistance agency. Kelly's assists with bathing, grooming, meal preparation, medication reminders, light housekeeping, laundry, and more. Kelly's has served all parishes of Region 6 for over 27 years. Kelly's is now providing services to our veterans in their homes. Locally owned and locally operated, with a desire to assist members of our community to remain in their homes for as long as possible. Thank you for giving Kelly's the opportunity to serve you with dignity, respect, and compassion, which has been our foundational qualities throughout our ministry. Kelly's is seeking attendants and caregivers with the same qualities of dignity, respect, and compassion that have sustained this agency. Again, thank you for 27 years of service to Central Louisiana. Kelly's is an equal opportunity employer. For more information, 318-793-8453 or 1-800-913-7784. The website is KellysServiceHouston.com. Kelly's Sitting Service is another proud sponsor of KAYT-KQJO-FM.
Information is powerful, but it's only powerful to the ears of the listeners. Public service announcements are very important to us here at KAYT-KQJO. If you have any public service announcements that you'd like to have aired here on KAYT-KQJO, as always, please feel free to send them 2 weeks in advance to KAYT, Attention, Bishop Kenny Townsend, at 5003 Masonic Drive, Suite 113, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71301. Or feel free to fax them 2 weeks in advance to 318-487-0909. Or you can hit us up on the World Wide Web at KAYT881news@gmail.com. Information is powerful, but only to the targeted listening audience. Here at KAYT, we want to help you get the word out. Send your public service announcement ASAP.
KAYT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9.
We breaking the chains, no change remain. All for the 96, y'all for the 96. Y'all thought we was through. But we stumping. Can you feel me? I can't see ya, I can't free ya, but I know who can. And it goes a little something like this. You got your chain on the brain, making you feel weak whenever it be looking like you can't make it. You kind of feel like you're standing behind bars. You try to scream, but nobody's outside. But when you're in the fog, there's a cold. You're looking at your heart, then you take a note. You want to feel better, you best to get some luck.
Yeah.